I made the it's a bit loud, is this? Yeah. I made the mistake of setting off tonight at the time I would normally set off, despite the fact that I'd seen it snowing for 2 hours before, and then I found out that the snow had frozen on the windscreen, and the de-icer, when I sprayed it, just came out with a instead of a spray. So there we are. You might actually see an illustration of that in my sermon tonight, but you never know. We're going to read from Isaiah chapter 40, and we're reading verses 25 to 31. To whom will you compare me, or who is my equal, says the Holy One? Lift your eyes and look to the heavens. Who created all these? Who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name? Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Why do you say, O Jacob, and complain, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by my God? Do you not know? Have you not heard? The Lord is the everlasting God, the creator of the ends of the earth. He will not grow tired nor weary, and of his understanding no one can fathom. He gives strength to the weary and increases the power of the weak. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But all those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. As has already been mentioned, today is the first Sunday of Advent. And this evening I want to look at the traditional subject for this day, and that is hope. When babies are born or when loved ones die, when it's time to plant and when it's time to harvest, when it's a time of war and when it's a time of peace, when it's a time to weep and when it's a time to laugh, when it's a time to search for what is lost and when it's time to give up the search, when it's time to tear apart and when it's time to mend what is torn, then the single most important attitude that we must have is hope. Yeah. A favourite Bible verse of this church is Jeremiah 29, verse 11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. And this verse promises a hope and a future, and these will always go together in the season of life. I have to admit, though, that as with a lot of words, the word hope has changed its meaning somewhere in these modern times. More often than not, when we use the word, it has little or nothing to do with the way that the Bible uses the word. It's the weak and ineffectual way the word's tossed around that seems to be not quite right. I think that when we hear someone say, I hope, what they usually mean is, I wish. We go to the cinema and we say, I hope it's going to be a good film. We order stuff on the internet and say, I hope I get what is ordered. What we mean is that it's our wish for that outcome. But that isn't what the Bible means when it uses the word hope. When the Bible refers to hope, it doesn't mean I wish. What in fact it means is, I have confidence. It's not, I hope so, but it's actually, I hope so I have confidence. I hope so I'm not afraid. I hope so I can walk into the future. And that's the gift of God that he wants to give to us. Hope is not just being an optimist. It's a common mistake to... It's common to mistake hope and optimism. An optimist sees the glass as half full, and a pessimist sees the glass as half empty. But a person of hope sees that the glass is firmly held in the hand of God. It's good news for some that you are pessimists. You feel you can never be hopeful, but actually you can be pessimistic and hopeful. You can recognise that even in a world where things aren't perfect, God is still in control. He's got the whole world in his hands, and therefore we have hope. A four-word definition of hope is, God is in control. When one sees that, it changes everything in life. Yeah. When I realize that God's purposes will always prevail, I have hope.
Yes.
People need hope. People are longing for hope.
Yes.
People will just about do anything if there is hope. But when there's no hope, what is left? Where do we turn? Statistics reveal that cases of depression continue to rise in percentage terms every year in this country. Suicide is now the eighth leading cause of death in our country. News commentators commonly refer to Generation X, and by that they mean those born after 1960 but born before the millennials, and they can refer to them as the hopeless generation. But no generation today has a monopoly on hopelessness. All ages need hope. I think the Generation X's are just more honest about it. They're looking for authentic relationships and meaningful experiences, and they often don't find them. Just look around. We're living longer. We've never had more. Never in human history have so many had so much for so long and yet been so depressed about it. We need hope, the kind of hope that God gives, the kind of hope that changes everything. Yeah. What happens when we have hope, when God brings that hope into our lives? Well, first of all, if I have hope, I can get started. What gets you started in the morning when you wake up? Mm-hmm. What gets your motor going? What will cause you to hit the floor, ready to take on a new day? What helps you to say, good morning, Lord, rather than, good Lord, it's morning? In our text this evening, we read in Isaiah 40, verse 31, those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They'll walk and not faint. God's hope can get us started. Every day we can somehow plug in to the eternal purposes of God, and that should get our motors running. It's a familiar story, but it bears repeating. A man walked in on a gang of workmen on a construction site, and he asked one man, what are you doing today? The worker grunted and said, what's it look like? I'm mixing mortar. He asked another the same question, and again came the curt reply, hey, I'm laying bricks, all right? And he saw another man working diligently in another area of the worksite. What kind of work are you doing today? The worker looked up and said proudly, I am building a great cathedral. It's just a job, something to earn a living. I've only plugged into the eternal purposes of God. If I have hope, I can get started. But secondly, if I have hope, I can live with, well, you fill in the blank. I can live with whatever the burden is in my life at that very time. It's hope that enables us to handle tremendous pressure. People who have hope can handle incredible burdens in their lives, the day-to-day burdens. The Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians 1, and he wrote about the ministry burdens that had become of a persecution in his life. He writes, we had great burdens that were beyond our own strength. We even gave up the hope of living. Now, some of us may feel like that today, and so we know just how he felt. But then he continues, this happened so that we would trust not in ourselves, but in God. Even at that point where he wondered, am I going to make it? He was able to find hope. He could live with everything because God gave him the strength. And it's the same way if I have hope. I can live with whatever comes my way. And thirdly, if I have hope, I can go on. Hope gives us the strength to continue. Hope is what gives us the strength to go on after the loss or disappointment or the dream that once more refuses to come alive. Florence Chadwick was the first woman to swing the English Channel both ways. Then on July the 4th, 1951, she was going to swim the 26 miles between Catalina Island and the Californian coastline in the USA. But she didn't quite make it. And it wasn't the cold water, it wasn't the sharks, it wasn't the 15 or 16 hour swim. It was the fact that the fog rolled in and she couldn't see the coastline. She gave up half a mile from the goal. When she got out of the water, she said, "I'm not trying to make an excuse, but I feel that if the fog hadn't have been there and I could have seen the land, I would have made it." Later, she tried again. The fog rolled in again, but this time she knew that the coastline was there, and she completed it. In fact, she did it in 2 hours less time than anyone else had ever done it. Even in the fog of doubts and fears and discouragements, God's promises are immovable. They're always going to be there. You may not be able to see them, but hope gives you the knowledge that the faithfulness of God is there, and therefore you can keep on going on. Excuse me. In John 11, we see where Mary and Martha were in despair because Jesus had arrived too late to help their brother Lazarus, who had just died. Whatever else they might have thought about in their grief and despair about Jesus, there's no doubt that Jesus was 4 days late. But when he arrived, he called the 3-day dead Lazarus to life, and Lazarus walked out of the tomb. God is always on time. Hope is out there. If I have hope, I can go on into the future. 1 Peter 1 verse 6 tells us, "In this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials." There's a wonderful joy ahead, even though the going is rough for a while down here. When I have hope, I can get started and live with whatever comes, and I can continue on. And then fourthly, if I have hope, I can slow down. Hope is what gives me the ability to slow down in this busy life. Life gets out of balance when too much becomes too important. Without hope, we're always in a hurry. We don't know where we're headed, but we're always in a hurry to get there. It may be an old and ironic habit of human beings, but we always run faster when we've lost our way. We don't know where we're headed, but we think we have to put more energy and life in order to get there somewhere. We live in a society that's desperately in need of rest. But how can we find rest in our busy, busy lives? It's hope that enables us to slow down just a little bit and realize we don't have to rush through so fast because we know where life is headed. Psalm 62 verse 5 encourages, "I find rest in God, only He gives me hope." Hope and rest go together. Without hope, you'll find you're very restless. But with hope, we have the power to be rested. If I have hope, I can slow down. And there's just one last thing. If I have hope, I have the power to say no. I can get started. I can live with whatever. I can go on. I can slow down. But I can also say no to the temptations of life. Yes. Hope is the foundation of integrity. If I have no hope for the future, if I think there's nothing out there for me, then truthfully, there's no logical reason to have integrity. I may be quite a moral person anyway, but there's no logical reason to be so because it doesn't really matter. Just eat, drink and be merry because tomorrow we die. If there's nothing out there, nothing matters. However, for the believer, hope is the foundation for genuine wholeness. 1 John 3 verse 3 says, "Everyone who has this hope in Christ keeps himself pure just as Christ is pure." That's the power of hope in our lives. You don't have to wait to get to heaven to enjoy the hope that God gives you. 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 3 said, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. In the New Testament, the word hope occurs only once before the resurrection of Jesus. That's in Matthew 12:21, when a prophecy of Isaiah is ascribed to Jesus. But the word hope occurs 70 times after the resurrection of Christ. And it doesn't take a genius to figure out where the hope comes from. Hope begins at the darkest place of our lives and explodes onto the scene with resurrection power. Mm. Just look at the symbol of our faith, the cross. Yeah. Many of us wear the cross around our necks. But it was an instrument of execution and of shame in Jesus' day. Yet the cross is a perfect illustration of our faith. It was a dark place that God turned into a resurrection. If you want a picture of how God transforms the problems of the world into a means of grace and blessing, you don't need to look further than the cross and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. He took that evil that was done on a cross and turned it into a resurrection that brings us light and eternal hope. The cross tells us that he not only understands our pain, but he can transform our pain. Therefore, we have the confidence that in all seasons of life, hope endures. Yes. A man was walked up to a young boy sitting on a bench during a cricket match, and the match had already started. So the man said to the little boy, "How's it going?" The little boy looked up and said, "We're 118-0. But we haven't been into bat yet." Some of you may feel as if you're 118-0, but in many ways, you haven't been up to bat yet. There is a hope out there in the future that's indescribable. It's a place called heaven. It's a perfect hope. It's known as the blessed hope. It's something this world cannot give, but also that this world cannot take away. Lamentations 3, verse 21 and 22 says, "But I have hope when I think of this. The Lord's love never ends. His mercies never stop." Yes, amen. You don't have to wait for hope to begin. God's hope gives us a purpose for the future to begin again. A patience to endure whatever. A persistence to keep on keeping on. A peace that keeps our hearts at rest, and the power to stay the course. We need hope in all the seasons of life, and the great news is that God wants you to have it. Yes. God loves you and has purpose for your life. God is at work in your life even though you can't see it. God will honour his promises. Isaiah 49 verse 23 says, "Those who hope in me will not be disappointed." So this Christmas, in and among the frantic shopping and the festivities, when everything is getting just a bit too much, just take a moment and reflect that the hope that we have in the one who holds the glass in his hands and who is never, ever late. Amen.